Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday morning, September 14th. God has been good to us. God has given us one more day to live in this world and has given us this opportunity. Given us this opportunity to come and worship together and also online. If you notice in your bulletin, you have only one page. The other page, you can read it if you can. What happened? Our printer is not cooperating this morning. But Lisa fortunately had some copies made from home that she does all the time. So that's what we got today. So we'll fix that after service. We came here yesterday. I came here with my wife and tested everything. It was working. This morning it doesn't seem to work. Anyway. Our internet is working, that is good, so online people can still watch it. The announcements are in the second page, if you follow that with me. Is it okay now? Okay, we will continue. And hopefully if somebody can hear me online, just send a message to me or I don't know what to do, call me. The announcements are listed in the second page. Those have printed out. So those are the regular announcements that we have. The food bank ministry continues and the book is still available. Our fellowship lunch at Golden Corral is at on Thursday, 9:18, September 18 at 1 o'clock. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church by your prayers, presence, gifts, and service and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us to do in this community faithfully. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements anybody else have to do? I have some good news about the insurance. We got a new insurance company, so we are covered. They matched us a better price, so that is affordable. So we are fully covered. We got everything, just the coverage that we had until now. So nothing lost. Thanks be to God for that. It had to do a lot of work and call arounds, and finally we got it. But the old insurance company still haven't returned our policy premium. They took all the money, so I'm waiting for them to return it. And if I don't get it, I'll call you, Marcus. You have to go get it. Thank you. Thank you all for your continued prayers. God is good. Those are the announcements that I have. If anybody have nothing else, we'll continue to worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The opening hymn is Revive Us Again. It's not in the blue book, but we practiced it already. So it's a printed sheet there. Jace, it's on the screen too, if you can actually pull it up. That way, it's under the hymns the first time. No, close that. Click on it and then click this window, this one, the right arrow. And click at the bottom. No, click on the bottom. Click on this window, the white window at the back. That's it. Don't touch anything. Thank you, Jason. That's why we need to have you do it every Sunday so you won't forget. All right. Okay, if you ever please stand for the opening hymn, Revive Us Again. Please follow the sheet or on the screen.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us. One more day to live in this world at your grace and mercy. We thank you for this time that you have given us to gather in your name in this church as your children, to worship you together with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. Above all, we thank you for the gift of eternal life that you have given us through your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world, lived among us, died and rose from the dead, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life, Lord. We thank you for choosing us from this world to be your children, so that we can call you Abba Father. Thank you for your protection and care every day, Lord. And we come before you today to acknowledge you as our God. The grace and redemption that you have shown to us through Jesus Christ, through which you open the way to eternity to every nation and race and language by the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, O God, to lift up your name and glorify your name. Bless and each and every one of us here today according to our needs and our desires of the heart. May your name be lifted up and your name be glorified in all the things we do, in our singing, in our prayers, in the meditation of the word. Everything we do here bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
All right, man's man.
All right, thank you. This is a good time we got together.
Absolutely. Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Good. We'll see each other.
Good morning.
Good morning.
But we'll sing a congregational hymn. That is for the congregation to sing. You want to sing it by yourself? It is well with my soul. We all know that song. So please join us if you want to sit down or stand up, whatever way you like. 377 is also on the screen. Come to the responsive reading now, which is taken from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 24. It is on page 855 in the blue book. If you are able, please stand.
For it was you who formed my inward parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you for who you are, fearful and wonderful.
Wonderful are your works.
You know me very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes behold my unformed substance.
In your book were written the days that were formed for me, every day before they came into being.
How profound to me you are, thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them.
If I would count them, they are more than sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
O that you would slay the wicked, O God, and that bloodthirsty would depart from me.
Those who maliciously defy you, who lift themselves up against you.
Do I not hate them for that I hate you, O Lord, and do I not loathe them that I rise up against you?
I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and I know my heart. Try me, and I know my thoughts.
And if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
The word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time now as we come before God with our prayers of praises and concerns. We share our prayers of blessings first, and then we thank God for the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we will share our prayers of concerns and burdens with each other, and also lift them up to the throne of grace of God together with our Heavenly Father. The prayer requests are not on the bulletin today. That page did not print out, so I will call out what I have here from the email. Continue to pray for G. McBrayer, Grace Ains, Harry Basil, Carol Clements, Wayne Clements, and Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Ed and Berta Lowe, Harry Crumlin also. Wayne and Carol were supposed to be here today, but they decided to go with Mike and Linda for this weekend. So they will be here next week, that's what they told me. Wayne is fine, but they are looking for some care for Carol. Yeah. I think they are working it out already. So they will be here next week, God willing. And we wanted to give a special thanks to Kenny Kirby, who lives next door to us, and he helped us out during these weeks. And we thank you very much for your support and help with this church. And you are always welcome to come back, and please do that. And thank you for your presence in our midst and blessing us with your piano and organ. Let us continue to pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all of those who are serving us in the, behind the scenes, and all those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, especially some of the names I wanted to call out. Pray for the families that are grieving in the death of their dear ones. The Thomas family, there was the Johnson family listed there. And also pray for the family of Kirby. Charlie Kirk, sorry, I forgot the name, the family is still grieving. Please pray for that family, and also pray that our country will come back to a reasonable sanity level at some point. People are losing their sanities, and I see that a lot. Yesterday, two sad news came. One was a guy was beheaded in Dallas, Texas. Yeah, he was a hotel manager. I remember thought about you at that time. And the guy was working there as a maintenance guy. The manager and him had some problems, and he even got a machete and cut his head off and took the head and dumped in trash can. This is happening in America, in this society. That's really bad. And there was another one that we were talking about yesterday also. It happened all of this in 1 week. A Waffle House employee was attacked in Cobb County. Did you see that video?
No.
Like a bunch of teenagers jumped the counter. A poor guy who was behind the counter was beaten up. Live in the video. And there are other kids taking video of this and posting it on Facebook. I mean, this is the society that we are living in. Kenny was reminding me about one of the quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. He said that we must live
together as brothers or die together as fools. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Very profound.
Very profound. Thank you for reminding us that. Because if we don't live together as brothers and sisters, we are going to be fools living together in fight and hatred. And so let us pray that God will bring this country back to the sanity level at some point. I know God is in the midst of all of these things. God is still good. And continue to pray for all those who are troubled by these events that are happening in our society now, especially our younger generation. We're very concerned about them, the kids who are in high school and college. I think they're losing their focus, and many of them are misguided. But God is good, and God can bring everything back to where it should be. So let us pray for that. I'm so glad that you and Jace are here with our church today. A lot of teenagers are not in church. You know, they are going to different other places. Their priorities are different. So please pray for our youth, our youngsters, that God will intervene and give them the grace that they need to come back to the Creator God. And pray for our nation and unite so that we can have unity and peace. Pray for our president, leaders of the Congress, for their safety also, and many of them are being threatened every day. So please, please pray for the safety of our leaders, and we need that at this critical moment. We need leadership, good leadership. We have to pray for world peace, that God will also give the fear of God in the hearts of the leaders of the world, and they meet together, that they will also make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Let's pray for our church. The opportunities that God has given in this community to do the work of God has given us to do. God is continuing to guide us every day with all the things that we need. Even with all the issues that we had with our finances and all, everything's working out fine. Many of you have stepped up. Thank you for stepping up and donating more to the cause of this church that we can continue this ministry. Pray for our Spanish congregation. They are very much affected by the events of the immigration raids and all of that, so they are very concerned and burdened every day. So they asked me to pray especially for them, for their ministry. A lot of their folks are concerned about their family members, so let us pray for them, for their peace at this time. Those are the prayer requests that I have. Anybody have anything else? I also want to say a special prayer for the shooter's family and the shooter also. He needs a restoration and redemption. Even though a lot of people hate him at this point, but as Christians, we are here to pray for him and his family. His family is also grieving because they lost their son. So please pray for that family as well. Those are the prayer requests. If nobody has any special prayer request, let us go to God in prayer. I'll have a silent prayer in the beginning, and I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. The scripture says, God will meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God's riches are abundant, that there is no need that is too great for him, that he cannot meet it. No burden is too heavy that God cannot carry it. So let us go to God in prayer in that promise that God will answer our prayers according to his time and will. Merciful and gracious God, thank you, God, for all its joys of life that you have given us, Lord. The gift of life, the family, friends, and fellowship, and church, and the peace that you give us every day in this tumultuous and troubled world that we live in. Thank you for your care and protection and keeping us safe in the midst of evil and danger that is around us all the time. Thank you for covering us with your love every day, God, to be your loving hands and feet to this world where people need your love more than ever before. We thank you again for your presence in our midst and in our life, in our families, in our church. We come before you with our needs and concerns also, O God. Many of us are broken in many different ways, especially the ones that are looking for healing in their bodies that we have called out the names here today. We pray for Wayne and Carol, and we pray for all those who have asked our prayers at this point. Bless them, O God, with your grace. Pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes and Harry and Jerry Raines, Harry Crumlin, Aaron Bartolo, and all those that we have named or unnamed here. Bless them with your healing hand, O God, and touch them and heal them, O God. You are the great physician who can give us healing. We pray for our people who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, especially the family of Charlie Kirk, his wife and his children, and the family of the shooter and the shooter himself, Lord. We grieve for them. We comfort them, O God, with your peace. And you are the only one who can change heart to stones and to make it soft and cleansed with the blood of the Lamb on the cross. We pray for them, O God. Comfort them with your peace and your presence. We pray for our nation. We pray for our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and many others. It's a difficult time that we are going through in this country. Unite us, O God. Change the hearts of people so that we can return to our Savior, our Redeemer, our Creator, God. We especially pray for our youth, our children in school and college. They need you, O God, more than ever before. Open their hearts, O God. Humble their spirits. Illumine their souls, O God, so that they can see who God is, how gracious God is, that they will have a return to God. We are concerned about our next generation, O God. But one thing we know, that you are eternal. And you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Just you have been with us, you will be there with us, our children, in the next generation. We know that. Bless them, O God, and give them your guidance. Pray for our church, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity that you have given us in this community to be here at this time of history. Help us to use the opportunities faithfully to serve others. Especially we pray for our Spanish community, our church, the congregation. Bless them, Lord, with your guidance. People who are affected by various problems, and bless them with your peace during this time. Help us, O God, to spread your love in whatever way possible that you give us to do. Bless today with your presence, Lord, in the sermons and in the prayers that we make, Lord, that we will all be blessed by your power of the word, that we'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that the next days that we are about to live in this world will be powerful witnesses for you wherever you place us. We thank you again for blessing us today. Bless all the churches in this community, all the pastors, the missionaries, and churches around the world who are working in your vineyard for spreading your love. Strengthen them with the power of your Holy Spirit. And bless us today as we go from this place, that you will empower with the power of your Holy Spirit and your word, that we will be powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Patience and your grace. We pray that you bless this offering for your use and us to thy service, and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. Amen. Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and our Jesus, our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through him you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped from For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the gift of your word that you've given us, Lord, to be life and spirit in us, and also life and spirit to this world through us. Open our hearts to receive your word in obedience and humility. Illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. Empower us with your Holy Spirit, O God, so that we can be powerful witnesses for your word and your love to this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are in the second letter of Peter that we just read here today from second letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 that we read today. As the letters of Peter to me are very powerful in defining who we are. And we talked about many identities that Peter is giving Christians, people of Christian faith. It also applies to us, even though he was addressing to the people at that time who were persecuted for their Christian faith and who were fleeing from certain place to other places in Asia Minor and settling there because of their faith, fearing for their life. Even though they were fleeing and scattered in various parts of Turkey and Greece, they were still gathering together and worshiping God as a church. So he was writing this letter to them to encourage them. And we already saw that he gave us some identities for the people of faith. He called them elect exiles. We talked about that a couple of Sundays ago, the first letter he wrote. And then he also defined us as living stones, that we are all built together. We are building the church together. God is building the church together in this world with living stones, because you and I are the stones, but we are living beings, and these are living stones. And that's like a contradictory term, but that is what Peter says about the church itself. Then he also said that we are a chosen people, elected people by God from this world. And in another chapter, he also says that we are royal people, kingly people, and we are priesthood, we are holy nation, and God's special possession. So that is what Peter is trying to establish through his letters, to define us and define our identity as God's people when we live in this world. Mainly, we are all children of God. That is the bottom line. Regardless of how in different aspects that we express that, we are all children of God. We are children of one Father and one Creator, God. But in this chapter, in this passage that we saw here today, Peter is making an extraordinary claim that he is saying that in Jesus Christ, you will find everything that we need for life and godliness. If you scroll up to the verse 1, we read that he has blessed us with all the things that we needed to live a life in this world for godliness. It is good that we understand that God is good, God is enough for our faith, because God is who has given us Jesus Christ for our faith. And we know that God will keep us in the faith if we pray to God. And he will give us everything for that. And he has given us everything because of his son Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. But how about life? Does God give everything that we need in this world that we need? That's what Peter says. In Christ you have all the things that you need for life and godliness. Everybody in this world needs things for life. But not everybody needs things for godliness. Only people who believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ have that need of godliness. So what is life and godliness that Peter is talking about? Here is a fisherman who was converted to Christianity, not when Jesus was alive. He doubted and he denied Jesus 3 times. And he ran away from Jesus at the time Jesus was prosecuted and crucified. Like all the other disciples, they all ran away. And he was never near the cross. And even when he was following Jesus, they were following, expecting that Jesus was going to be an earthly king. An earthly king, so that they can take part in the kingdom of Jesus in this world while he's alive. But when things turned to the other side and Jesus was going to be crucified and Jesus talked about his death, Peter said, "Jesus, don't do that. I will do anything for you, and I will even lay down my life for you." And then Jesus, he called them, they said, "Devil, get behind me." That's what Jesus told him at that time, and called him devil. And then, or he called him Satan, actually. And then Jesus told him, "You don't know what you're talking about. You will lay your life for me." And he told him that before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me three times. So many times we don't know what it entails to have faith and to stand for faith, like Peter. Peter learned that lesson. He learned that lesson through his experience. But he was restored after Jesus' death. Jesus rose from the dead and Jesus appeared to Peter. Even though he was never near the cross or the tomb, only the women stayed close to it. Remember when the third day came, the women ran to the tomb and they found Jesus. And they were excited. They ran back to the disciples and told them, "Yeah, we found and we saw Jesus." So Peter ran first and went into the tomb and he couldn't find anything. He couldn't find Jesus. So he came out empty-handed, while the women who actually went in and saw the tomb empty, but they saw Jesus outside. Peter could not do that. He couldn't believe it, and he came empty on Easter morning. And he was confused. He was weakened again in his faith. But lo and behold, Jesus appeared to Peter and the disciples and then revealed him, his glory to them, as the glorified and resurrected Jesus Christ. That is when Peter's life turned upside down. Even though he did not accept him as God and Lord and Savior while he was alive, Jesus was alive, he did it when he appeared to him after resurrection. That changed his life, and then that's how he committed his life for the spread of the gospel and went to the far corners of the world and finally became a martyr, for killed by the Roman emperor. So that is what Peter is telling them. God gives us everything that we need for our faith, not only for faith, but also for our life in this world. Life and godliness. Godliness is about faith and a godly life in this world. In the Old Testament, we read about Jehovah Jireh, a term, a Hebrew term, that means the Lord is my provider. The history or the story behind that is when Abraham was called to ask, called to take his son Isaac, the only son, the promised son that God gave him when he was 100 years old, the only child that he had promised, Isaac. God asked him to go and sacrifice, take him to sacrifice him for God. And because of his faith, Abraham obeyed and took him to the mountain to sacrifice. And while they were walking up the mountain, the boy did not know he was going to be killed or sacrificed, or that was they were going. They thought that they were going to sacrifice a lamb to worship God. That's what they used to do in the temple at the time. So the boy and the dad were walking together to the mountain. The boy looked up Abraham and said, "Dad, we have the wood for the fire. We have the wood and fire. But where is the lamb?" Very, very pointed question, right? As a dad, what would you answer as a man of faith? And Abraham said, "Don't worry, the Lord will provide." And they went up there, and you know all that story, that he tied the boy down and laid him on the wood, and he was about to kill. That's when God's voice came and said, "Stop, stop, Abraham. I am going to give you a nation for you because of the faith and obedience that you have shown." And that is when Abraham knew that God is the provider. He will provide the right resources for you at the right time. And that's what he told Isaac on their way up there. They said, "God will provide." And he did. And God told him, "You look around and you will see a lamb in the side of the mountain, go and take the lamb and sacrifice that instead of Isaac. And Isaac is a pointer towards, even though he was not killed or sacrificed, he's a pointer of Jesus Christ, who eventually become the ultimate sacrifice for all of us, the promised Son, the only Son of God, who came to this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life. And Peter is combining all of this message together. As Christians, we need to live a life that is rich and full, not an empty life. Because we have been promised the gift of eternity with God, not only after life. We all know about life after death. Oh, we are all sure about it, right? How about life in this world? We are also promised a richer and fuller life. The eternity starts here and now while we are here. Our choice to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior starts our journey to eternity right here in this world. So we need to live a rich and full life, not an empty life complaining and grudging and hating each other, but to love each other fully so that we can have a full and richer life. When I say rich life, it is not about money, you know that. It is of the richness of the love of God, the richness of mercy and kindness and compassion. The richness of our faith is not about worldly things. It is about the internal richness. So that is why Peter is telling them, even in the midst of your persecution and trials, even in the midst of suffering and pain and sickness and grief, we can have a rich life if we choose to. It's a choice that we make. Or we can make a very bad life or a frustrated life. It is a choice that you and I have to make. Since we made a choice to accept Jesus Christ in our life, it is ours to choose that full life, that rich life in this world, even in the midst of our pains and suffering and problems around this world. Many times we live like dead people, no life. But Jesus said, I came to this world to give you life. And not just life, life abundantly. So we need to experience the life of Christ in us abundantly every day. Not to live like dead people. There was a guy who went to the doctor to say, and he has a hallucination all the time that he thinks that he was dead. When in reality he was much alive, and he had his family was in trouble, so they took him to the doctor. And so he says he's dead, but he's alive. Tell him, you know, doctor, the psychologist, and tell him he's alive. So the doctor made many different ways to convince him that he's not dead. He's alive. So the doctor gave him the books to read and took out medical books. And then finally, at the last step, he would say, he showed a passage in one of the medical books that said, dead men don't bleed. It says, so he took the book and said, dead men don't bleed. See that? Do you understand this? He said, yeah, I understand that. So he showed me, show me your finger. So he pricked his finger. So the blood came out. So when he said, now do you believe that you are not dead, you are alive? Oh, then he said, oh, what does that tell you? Oh my goodness. He said, dead men do bleed. That's what he said. That's what we are sometimes, right? Even when God gave us the rich and full life in Jesus Christ, we don't claim it. We are still not satisfied with life that we have. We are after the material things, the worldly things, but we ought to be in this world full of love of Christ so that we can lead a full and richer life. As Christians, God wants us to live a life that is full of purpose, joy, and a deeper relationship with God, rather than just mere existing. We are not here just mere for earthly existence, but we are here to have a rich and full life in Jesus Christ. A full life is a life that glorifies God. An empty life will never glorify God. Our faith is so much full. And that's Peter said, a servant of the apostle, to those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ has received a faith as precious as ours. A precious faith. Our praise is very precious. Even though God has given us this faith in Jesus Christ freely to us, There is a price, a big price. It is precious. God has paid the price so that we don't have to pray any price anymore. And Peter experienced all of this in his life. The way when he was empty in his life and when he was full in his life. So he experienced both, like us. So that is why he's encouraging everybody who believes in Jesus Christ to have a faith like theirs and also to have a rich and full life as the apostles, all the apostles had. Our faith is a precious faith and a full faith, and our life should be full of power and fullness and richness. And also, godliness is not about us. It is about God's goodness. It is not about us. It is about God's glory in our lives. Without God in our life, there is nothing. We are empty. We will find Jesus not just everything that not need for our faith, but also everything that we need for our life as well. And God's divine power has given us everything that we need in our school, in our college, in our workplace, in our lives, in our married lives, in our corporate life, in our single life, in our midlife crisis, in our old age, even through our death. God is there with us because we don't have to be afraid of anything. That is what the rich and fuller life of Christians are. We are talking about in life the fullness here. The Peter is saying to us that Jesus Christ is sufficient for all of our needs in our life. And it's a God-centered life that we have, a passion for God, filled with a passion for God. Not to try to conform to the rules of this world, but to always align ourselves with God's will and to give priority to God's will and God's kingdom. These are the things that Peter continues to write in his letter. We will continue with the study of Peter in the next few weeks. And remember that gospel is not about me and my faith. It is about Jesus and his glory in me. Without that, I am nothing. Paul says that. Without the faith, I am nothing. So that is what we have to take in from here. Medical science can give us extended life, extend our life a little bit. It can add years to our life. But Jesus is the only one who can give life to our years. If we don't have life that is full and rich, there is no meaning in having longer life. So the medical science may seek to add years to our life. Jesus gives life to our years. This is what Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, now writing the powerful letter about God's power and richness that they need to be filled with every day. So regardless of what we need in our life, God is sufficient. No matter what we need for our faith, God is still sufficient. So he is sufficient to give us everything for faith and God and godliness in this world and our life. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place to be filled with the power and the fullness and the richness of life in this world. Amen. The closing hymn is "I Am Thine, O Lord," 419 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand. Thank you.
I commune and spend with men. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where all has come. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to that precious medicine. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross that Thou hast done.
People of God, God has given us everything that we need in Christ Jesus for our life and godliness in this world. Courage in the face of opposition, peace under pressure, faith in the face of tragedy, comfort in bereavement, love when we feel alone and lost, healing when we need healing in our bodies. May the grace of God of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.